Today's daf is Tamid Daf Lamed Beis. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, and we have our little bit of Agadata here in Maseches Tamid. We take a break from the Seder Hadvarim in the Beis Hamikdash each and every morning, and we go a little bit off topic over here. So says the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. Asara Dvarim Shala Alexandros Mokdon Zikne HaNegev. There were 10 things that Alexandros Mokdon asked the Zikne HaNegev. Now the Tosfos in Maseches Megillah writes that we say Shlosha Molchu B'chala Olam. The Gemara Megillah says that there are three people who ruled over the whole world: Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. So Tosaf there writes that Alexander's Mokdan also ruled over the whole world. We assume Alexander's Mokdan is Alexander the Great, and he was Melech B'chala Olam. He was Melech B'kipa over the entire world. It's just that he's not mentioned on the list because he's not Mefurish in the Pesukim that he ruled over the whole world. All the other people is Mefurish in Pesukim that they ruled over the whole world. You have such a similar idea that also says elsewhere in Shas, that even when we make lists, that this is the exhaustive list of whatever, if it's not Mefurish in the Pasuk, it doesn't make the list. Tosa says that in Masechus Sota on Daf Yud, where the Gemara says that it's a Noach al Adam Shiapalat Smotok Kivshana Eish, Val Yabim Pnechaver Barabim. Better to embarrass, to go into a fire, rather to burn yourself in a fire, rather than to embarrass somebody publicly. So Frak Tosa's eye, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, tells us that there are only three mitzvos that Yehar Gval Yavar, three averos that Yehar Gval Yavar, Avod Zar Gil Rai Shvichus Damim. If according to this Gemara, it sounds like Mabnei Chaver Barabim is also Yehar Gval Yavar, embarrassing someone publicly is also Yehar Gval Yavar. Why is it not on the list? Tosfos says it is, but it doesn't make the list because it's not Mefurish in the Torah. So similar idea, Tosfos says in Maseches Megillah, that we say three people rule the entire world. Why isn't Alexander Smokdan on the list? He is on the list. He is someone who ruled over the whole world. He just doesn't make the list because it's not Mefurash in the Pesukim. But this was Alexandros Mokdan. So he went to ask 10 questions, the Gemara says, to the Ziknei HaNegev. So the Maharal in Chidush HaGadol tries to explain, who are these Ziknei HaNegev? He says it seems that someone who resides in the southern part of the world, which he describes as the Ktzei HaOlam, the end of the world, and Darom, the south in general, is the tzad and the direction that is miyuchad for Chachma. That we know from the Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra. The Gemara tells us different ways to face during Shemona Esrei if you want to achieve different goals. So I wrote to the Ha'ashir Yatzbin. If a person wants to become wealthy, they should face north. If a person wants to become smart, they want Chachma. Harotza lahachkim yadrim. So in some sense, so that's why we have to figure out, are we North Woodmere or South Valley Stream? So it depends what we're looking for. So if you want to if you want to achieve a certain sense of Chachma, so yadrim, then you face south. So that's why he was Dafka Shol, the Ziknei HaNegev, his questions in Chachma. That's the source of Chachma. However, says the Maral, there's a big difference between Ziknei HaNegev and Chachmei HaNegev. Chachmei HaNegev refers to Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. And there's a big difference between Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and Ziknei HaNegev. Because Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, their Chachma is from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them Chachma. He gives Chachma l'chachamim, like Shlomo HaMelech, just like he gave Shlomo HaMelech and all the other Chacham B'chol Dor V'Dor, and that's why they're called Chachamim. Ziknei HaNegev, Ziknei is also Zeshakan HaChachma, relates to a certain wisdom. It's not only about age, but the Ziknei HaNegev acquired their Chachma through the what he calls the chulshas haChomer shusham b'tzad darom, the weakness of Chomer, the lack of, I guess, what we would call gashmius, meaning the Maral has this idea that there is this balance between Chomer and Ruchni, that the more something is tied down to the physical, the more it's removed from the intellectual, spiritual realm. So since in the Negev the Chomer is weak, mimela the intellectual, spiritual is very strong. And that's why they were called Ziknei HaNegev. What is the nature of a Zakein's Chachma? Why is it that a person, the more he becomes a Zakein, the older he becomes, the more wise he becomes? Because his Chomer breaks down. His physical body breaks down a little bit. His connection to the physical world goes down. And as that connection to the physical world goes down, his connection to the spiritual world goes up. Remember, we just said over such a Maharal that had a similar idea when it came to the contrast between Ziknei Ama Aretz and Ziknei Talmidei Chachamim, that the Ziknei Am Haaretz, we said that they're so connected to the physical world that they never have a chance to really acquire Chachma. Whereas the Ziknei Talmidei Chachamim, the Ziknei Am Haaretz, their Chachma is in the physical world. It's all about physical things. It's all about Chomri. So they don't have that Chachma goes away as they lose the Chomer, as they lose that connection to the Chomer. Whereas Ziknei Talmidei Chachamim, their Chachma is all about great milos. It's all about things in the spiritual world, and that Chachma is enhanced as their connection to the physical world wanes with old age. But anyway, that is Ziknei HaNegev. So he goes to ask the Ziknei HaNegev, not the Chachma HaNegev. He asks him 10 questions. Number one, Amar Lahan, Min HaShemayim La'aretz Rachok Mizrach L'Marav. What's a greater distance? Is there a greater distance from heaven to earth, or a greater distance from east to west, meaning across the entire world? So Amar Lo, Min Mizrach L'Marav. So they said, from east to west is a greater distance. Teda, and the Raya is, Shari Chama bin Mizrach HaKol Mestaklimba. Chama bin Marav HaKol Mestaklimba. Anyone can look at a sunrise or a sunset, and you're able to look at it without squinting. You're able to see it just perfectly. Apparently, the distance from where we are to where the sun is rising in the east or setting in the west is not that is so great that the sun is weakened in our eyes to the point that we're able to look at it straight on. But chama b'emtzo rikia, but when the sun rises all the way up to the center of the sky in midday, people aren't able to look at it. So it must be that it's much closer when the sun is in midday, and that's why we're not able to look at it straight on. So that's what that's what they responded. The Chachamim omrim, and the Chacham said, Zev zeh ke'echad shavin. The Chacham said, no, it's equal. The distance from Mizrach l'Marav and the distance from Shemayim v'aretz is the same. How do I know? Shenemar, ki gavah Shemayim ala aretz, Kerachok Mizrach miMarav v'Chad minayu nafish nichtav tervayu ki ha'udu nafish. And if one of them is more, so then, and we want to emphasize a great distance, we should only mention the one that is a great distance. Meaning, when David HaMelech in Tehillim is writing, he's trying to paint the imagery of a very great distance. So why does he give two mashalim? One of the distance between Shemayim and Aretz, and the other between the distance of east and west. He should have just picked the bigger one and said that's the one that is the mashal to gover chazdo al yireyav, to how much chesed Hashem gives, Hashem does with those who fear Him. So ve'elchama ve'emtzo rikia, my time ain't a kol mistaklim. But the Ziknei HaNegev had a good raya that the chama in the middle of the sky you could look at. So why are you able to look at it if it's really no greater a distance, no less a distance rather than it is when the sun is in the east or in the west? Now the difference is, what's covering it? Is there anything that's being mafsik between the sun and where we are? When it's the middle of the sky, there's nothing that's covering it, and that's why we're unable to look at it straight. There is a Gemara Chagiga, a parallel sugya sort of, where the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph tells us, Amar Rav Lazar, Adam Rishon Kodem Shechata Hayashir Godlo Min Haaretz Ad L'Rakia. That Adam Rishon, before he sinned, his height went from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. And once he sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his hand on him, Umiyato, and made him smaller. And Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, that Adam Rishon was so big, he was misofa olam ad sofo. And once he sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bemayed him, made him smaller. So the Gemara says, and it's not a machlokas between these two deos, whether it was min ha'aretz ad l'rakia or misofa olam ad sofo, they're both the same shear. They both have they're both the same distance. That was the height of Adam Rishon, was the same. So Tulsus over there says that that's a little bit against what we say over here in Talmud, that the Shir Mizrach L'Marav is greater distance than Eretz L'Rakia. According to our Gemara, if he was a Gadol Mizrach L'Marav, he shouldn't have been able to stand up ever. So Tulsus writes that the Gemara holds that he was in Gan Eden before the Chet, and therefore it doesn't make a difference. The physical limitations don't really matter. But the truth is, it sounds that Gemara is assuming, like the second day over here, like the Shita of the Chacham, that Zevezek Echad Shavin, that the two of them are equal. It's against what the Ziknei HaNegev say, but it's in line with what the Chacham have to say. Okay, question number two. Amalan, Shemayim Nivru Tchila or Aretz? He said, which one was created first, Shemayim or Aretz? Amru, Shemayim Nivru Tchila, Shneimar, Bereshis Bar Elokim Esa Shemayim V'Esa Aretz. Shemayim must have been created first, because that's what the pasuk says. It says Kadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim and then the Aretz. The Gemara in Chagiga, also on Daf Yud Beis, same Daf, has Machlokas Beisham Beisilel, where Beishamay holds that Shemayim is Nivru Tchila and then Nivra Aretz, because it says Bereshis Bar Elokim Esa Shemayim V'Esa Aretz. Beisilel, however, says that the Aretz was Nivru Tchila and then the Shemayim, because it says B'yom Asos Elokim Eretz v'Shamayim, says Eretz first and then Shamayim. So the Gemara over there quotes the Shita of the Chacham that hold that they're both created at the same time, because it says Ach Yada Yasta Eretz V'Yamini Tapcha Shamayim Kara Nialeim Yamdu Yachad. They Yamdu Yachad, that they should both stand, they should both rise, they should both come into being at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forming them and fashioning them maybe at different times, but when they actually came into being, it was simultaneous. And Reish Lakish says over there to be Miyashiv the Stira between the Mashmos and the Psukim, that in the Seder Abriya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created Shemayim, then created Aretz. Aval Kishenata, Nata Aretz v'acharkach Nata Shemayim. Whatever that means, when he put them in place, maybe when he was creating them, he created Shemayim first and then Aretz. But when he was Nata, when he leaned them and placed them just in the right place, so that's that he did the Aretz and then the Shemayim. So the Be'er Shev over there says the maskana of that Gemara is like Reish Lakish. So says the Olas Tamid. According to that, we understand why our Gemara, in our Gemara, the Ziknei Negev answered B'Pashtos that the Shemayim was Nivra Tchila, because that's the Maskana. The Maskana is like Reish Lakish, that it was Taka Nivra Tchila. It's just a question of what was Nata Tchila, that was the Aretz. So it works out that our Gemara works very well with the Maskana of the Gemara over there. Question number 3. Amr Lehen, or Nivra Tchila Choshech. So he said, okay, what was created first? Or Choshech. Amr lo milsa da in la peser. So they said, well, there's no way for us to know that. There's no resolution to that question. V'nemele choshech never tchila d'chsiv haaretz ha'isa sov avo v'choshech v'hadar v'yor melkim yor v'yor. Why didn't he say choshech was created first? Because the pasuk, after all, does say that it was emptiness, it was sov avo and choshech al p'nei tohom. And then it says that v'yor melkim yor v'yor, that Hashem created or. After there already was choshech. So the Gemara says, yeah, they could have answered that, but Savri, Dilma Asi L'Shiulei, Mala 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 Mata Mala Fnim Mala Achor. They didn't like where this conversation was heading. They figured the easiest way to end the conversation was to say, I don't know. It's a good trick sometimes. If you don't like where the questions are going, so you just say, I don't know, to an earlier one, then they'll assume you don't know anything. So it's better to end it that way. I don't know. So because they knew that he was going to start to ask about what was before the world was here, things that they can't contemplate, and things that even if they could contemplate, they would never be able to explain. So they didn't want to go down that road. So says Mari Hachi Shemayim Nami Lo Nemrele. So then, why did they answer the first question when he asked which was created first, the Shemayim or the Aretz? They shouldn't have answered that one either, because that's also about the Briyas HaOlam. That's also Ma'aseh Bereishis, right? There are a couple of things we're not supposed to look at too carefully. Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava. Chazal tell us that they're too beyond us. So why did they answer that first question? So he says, Meikaris Havar Akrei B'Almuz with the Kashayel, that they didn't know he was going to be asking 10 questions. They thought that was just time. He had one question. Kivin Dechazit Dechadar Shayel, Savar Lo Neymalei, Dilma Asi L'Shulei, Mala 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 Mata, Mala Fnim Mala Achar. Once they saw that he wasn't letting up and that he was going to continue to ask, so then they figured, we better not answer him. So they said, we don't know. So since they said, we don't know, that led to question number 4. It took him in a little bit of a different direction. Amr Lahen, Eden Miskari Chachim. So they said, what's a wise man? You guys are supposed to be the wise men, but you're telling me you don't know. Isn't a wise man someone who knows everything? So how could you guys be the Chachamim? Is what he probably meant to ask when he said, what is called a Chacham? So they said, what's called a Chacham? Amr Lahen, Ezu Chacham, Haroas Hanolad. A Chacham is someone who's able to see the future. So what were they trying to tell him? No, Adarabah, our answer of we don't know was Chachma. We didn't like where the conversation was heading. We saw exactly what your next few questions were going to be. So we were Chachamim by being Roas Hanolad, and Dafka shutting off the conversation as right there on the spot. That's how the Chasam Sofer explains the conversation that they were that they said that was he said he thought that their previous response was a raya that they weren't chachamim. They said no, adraba, our previous response was the greatest raya that we are chachamim because we're able to be roas and olan. The Marshan Chidusha Agados explains the Masa Umat and the whole conversation over here a little bit differently. That really Alexandros Moklin was a great philosopher, a brilliant man. He was from the Talmidim of Aristotle, and he was a conqueror of lands. He was a valiant and brilliant general, and he was very, very wealthy. So he thought that he is a chacham, he is a gibor, and he is an ashir. He had it all. He had all three things. So he asked the Ziknei Negev that they should provide him with what their image is of a chacham and a gibor and ashir, expecting them to say to each question, you, you're the chacham, you're the gibor, you're the ashir, you're the perfect image of all of those things. So he was fishing for a compliment. But the Marshal writes, they responded based on the pasuk. The Shlomo Melech says, "Al Yishalel Chacham b'Chachmaso, Val Yishalel Hagibor b'Gvuraso, Val Yishalel Ashir b'Ashro." Here he's trying to be misalel. He's trying to get praise. He's trying to again fish for a compliment about his chachmas, gvuran, his ashirus. And they respond with what the Chacham Mikol Adam taught us, that a person should never look for to be misalel dafka in those areas, in Chachma, in Gvura, in Ashirus. Ki im bezosi salel ha-misalel, haskel v'yodeosi. What can someone really take pride in? What can someone really take credit for? His the extent to which he has a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that he has a knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, v'yodua osi. What does yodua mean? To know Hashem. The Rambam the Rambam writes that the mitzvah rishen hilchus yisodei Torah, that there's a mitzvah for us to be yodea HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the word Yodea is a very tricky word. What does it mean to know that there is God? You tell me to know Maseches Tamid, I could study it backwards and forwards for a long time, and maybe I will know it. But how do you know that there is a God? What does one study to know that there is a God? So it is possible the Rambam doesn't mean know in the conventional sense. Yodea doesn't necessarily mean to know. For instance, first few times the word Yodea is used in Chumash, it has nothing to do with knowing. It describes Adam Yoda as Chavo, and then miraculously, you know, it sounds like a she introduced herself, "Hi, I'm Chava. Hi, I'm Adam." Vatar, she was pregnant. That's unbelievable. How did she become pregnant just from him knowing her? So obviously it means something more. Furthermore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Avram Avinu before he's about to destroy Sodom, why do I have to tell Avram Avinu what I'm about to do? Because I know, Yodea, that he's going to tell his children about the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going to pass on the Mesorah to his children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, and he's Yodea Machoveyam. He understands, he knows that they are hurting. Right, he didn't know for the last 210 years that they were hurting. Now he just figured out there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're talking about. Now he knows, so Yodea very likely means, something I'm going to point out, I don't remember who, but Yodea very likely means to focus on an area of knowledge that you already have. It doesn't mean to know, it means to pay attention to what you already know. So Yediyas Hashem, so that's what, that's the mitzvah of Ona, from Adam to Chava, is not just that he knew her, but that he paid attention to the fact that he knew her and what she was there for, and Einisha Labanim, and he therefore took advantage of her role as the matriarch of all of humanity. And that's our Kodesh Baruch Hu. He knew, obviously, the Jewish people were hurting, but he decided to allow that to play a critical role in his decision-making, dafka at this point in time. And that's maybe the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem. Haskel v'yodea osi is not just to, obviously, we believe in our Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's to pay attention to that belief, to make a Kodesh Baruch Hu part of our everyday lives. So that was the response that they were telling him, that you're trying to find praise in all of these other things, but you should know that that's not the real definition of that's not what someone should get praised about. The whole purpose of all of the ashirus and all of the chachma and all of the gevura, those aren't ends unto themselves. Those are a means toward an end. The end is haskel v'yodea osi, and you should appreciate that. That's why the true chachma is ro'as ha'nolad, meaning that which is going to to come at the end of days, that a person knows, you're able to have a little bit of a look into the future, into where you're heading. The whole Midas HaChachma is based on this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same is true of Gvura. Gibor is not Chazak B'Mulchama, it's Kovish Yisitro, it's what brings you closer to Hashem when you defeat your Yetzer Hara. And Ashirus as well, Ashirus Sameach B'Chelko, which is going to allow a person time to contemplate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to engage in spiritual pursuits, because he's Sameach B'Chelko, he's not going to be so busy just achieving the next physical goal and the next physical goal. Just on the issue, obviously we're familiar with this question of Ezu Chacham Haroas Anolad from Pirkei Avos, from the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. So I saw this morning in the Land of Rosh Yeshiva's Sefer on Pirkei Avos, from Yonasan Sachs Sefer on Pirkei Avos, the new Rosh Yeshiva Landers, he points out that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, that just like it's usher to teach Torah to a Talmud she'eno hagun, so too it's usher to learn Torah from a Rav she'eno hagun. Meaning, his point is the Mishnah over there in Pirkei Avos does not give the same answer. What do we say over here? Ezu chacham aroas anolad. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says Ezu chacham. Ezu chacham halomid mikal adam, that chacham is someone who learns from everybody. So it's two different measures of a chacham. It's interesting that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says that just like you don't teach to any Talmud, you don't learn from any Rebbe. If you have a Rebbe who's Eino Hagun, only if your Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, you should be Mevakish Torah Mipiv, based on the third Gemara in Moed Katan, but otherwise you shouldn't learn from him. So ask the Lech Mishnah, what do you mean? We have Rebbe Meir who learned, the Gemara asks already, Mesechus Chagiga Daf Tezvav, we have Rebbe Meir who learned Torah from Acher. We have Rabbi Rabbechana. So the point is, on the one hand, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says Lomin Mikaladim. Rabbi Meir, in fact, fulfilled that. He learned Torah even from Acher, and yet the Rambam tells us from the Gemara in Eilim Megalchin, the third Perkei Moed Katan, that you're only supposed to learn from really special people. So which is it? Is it Mikaladim, or is it even from really special people? So the Gemara answers that there are psukim that imply both ways, and the Gemara says Habu Gadol Habu Katan. There's a difference if you're secure in your own Torah learning and your own religious observance. Then you can learn even from someone like Acher. If you're like Reb Meir, then you can learn someone from like Acher. But if you're someone who's still being molded and someone who's still not 100% secure, then you would learn only from someone who's like a Malach Hashem Tzvaka. It's very interesting about the different midos that you need. Obviously, when we want Rebbeim for our children, we're always going to look for someone who has it all. We want someone who's a Yirei Shemayim and has midos and is also a Chacham and is has a lot to offer, but maybe at different stages in life there are different sets of skills apparently that need to be emphasized. At the earlier stages in life, it's much more critical to have someone who represents a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, and in later stages in life, once a person is more established, from this Gemara you get the impression that as long as he's a Chacham, that's good enough. But the Rambam doesn't paskin that way. The Rambam says, no, if he's Eino Hagun, you shouldn't be Mevakish Torah Mipiv. So Lech Mishnah asks the Kasha, why the Rambam goes against what seems to be the Maskan of the Gemara, and he suggests that maybe the Maskan of the Gemara was not accepted by everybody, and that it's really a Machlokas, and that we should stay away, generally speaking, from people who don't represent the proper Midos in Torah learning. But anyway, let's get moving here. So he says, so what is a Chacham? Someone who's Ra'as and Nola. Amr Lahan, Eden Miskari Gibor. So, question number 5, he says, who is a Gibor? Amr Lo, Ezu Gibor, Hakovish is Yitzro. A Gibor is someone who's able to overcome his Yitzar Hara. Amr Lahan, Eden Miskari Ashir. Who is an Ashir? Amr Le, Ezu Ashir, Hasamech Bechelko. An Ashir is someone who's happy with his Chelek. Amr Lahan, Mayavadinish Vyichya. So, question number 7 was, what does a person do if he wants to live? Amr Le, Yamis Atzmo. The greatest advice if he wants to live is that a person should kill himself. He should be maimus as atzmo. So the Mefarish says over here means yashpil as atzmo. He should humble himself. That a person who wants to live should humble himself, and then people will lower himself, and then people will have rachmanas on him, and he'll live for many years. And lahepich, if he wants to die, is the next question. Then he should be yichay as atzmo, carry himself with gaiva, and then it's going to be he's not going to live a very long time. So essentially, what he's saying is be humble. The Rush says, no, that Yamesis Atzma means that he should act b'shiflus, that he, in the sense that he shouldn't be embarrassed to do a job that he otherwise would have considered beneath him. That whatever it takes to make a parnasa, there's nothing that's beneath the person to put food on the table. If he doesn't, if he's unable to make a parnasa, he should, in doing what he would have liked to have been doing, so there's nothing that's considered to be beneath a person if it's a form of parnasa, and that way he's literally going to live, because he'll be able to get put food on the table. The Rosh also says that Yamas Asatzmo means Bitanuge Olam Hazeh, that he should live a life of a very simple life. He shouldn't look for extra enjoyments. And Lahepuch, if he wants to kill himself in Olam Haba, he should be Mechay Asatzmo in Olam Hazeh. He should look for a life of all sorts of different enjoyments. Rabbeinu Gershom and the Ravid say what we probably would have thought Pashup Shat. What does it mean, Yamas Asatzmo? Al divrei Torah, that a person should kill himself. Al divrei Torah, should work very hard. Al divrei Torah, and that's going to be the Eitz Chaim Hilam Achazikimba. That's going to be the source of life for us, based on the Gemara in many many places. That ain divrei Torah miskaimim ela b'misha meimis atzmo aleha. The Gemara says that all over the place. In Brachos Daf Samach Gimel, Shabbos Daf Pei Gimel, Gittin Daf Nun Zayin, all over the place. So through that, a person will be zocha to the Keser Shel Torah and Chay Olam Haba, which is the ultimate Chiyus. That's the Olam Hanitzchi. That's the ultimate life. So the Gemara goes on to ask, or Alexander's Mokhtam goes on to ask, Armelan, may Yavadin Shvi Yamus, Yechaya Satsma. What should a person do if he wants to die? So let him live. So Armelahan, question number 9 now, may Yavadin Shvi Skabal Abriyasa. What should a person do if he wants to become popular, if he wants people to like him? So Amri Yaski Malchav Shiltan. He says, you should run away from a melech and from any rulership, from any power. Not the thing you wanted to say to Alexander's Mokhtam. So he says, I have better advice for you. Why don't you get in close with the king, and the king will take care of you. He has the power to be good to you. So my answer is better than your answer on that level. Now question number 10, the final question. Where is it better to live, by the sea or by the dry land? So he says better to be by the dry land, because anyone who travels at sea is always a little anxious and a little nervous until they get down on dry land. It's like when the plane lands and you hit ground, it's like there's a certain sense of relief, even though intellectually you know it wasn't really dangerous. Flying in the air, just a certain sense of relief. You feel firm on the ground. Same is true with the ocean. So people only have a yishuv hadas when they get to the dry land. So therefore, it's better to live by the dry land. So those were the 10 questions. Says the Gemara. He also asked what seems to be a bonus question. Amar lahen. Eden min chun chacham yasir. So he says, okay, which one of you is the smartest? Because he wanted to know who to blame for the answers that he didn't like. Because obviously they learned from someone who's the greatest chacham. So he said, who's the greatest chacham amongst you? So amrlo kulana kechadashavim. They said, we're all equal. Everything you asked us, we all were mechaving to the same answer. So we're all equal. We're all on the same level of chachma. Amar lahen, ma din atrisin lekabli. So he said, why are you giving me these difficult answers? Are you being so combative in your answers? Meaning, I'm asking you I ask you a question about what should a person do to be accepted, and you tell me to stay away from the king. Like, these are not, I ask you the definition of chachma, gvura, and ashirus, and you don't tell me anything that I have. Why are you being so difficult? The Rush understands that he's asking more than that. He's saying, why in general are you Jews so distant? Meaning, we could have such a good friendship. We're both so wise. We have so much to offer each other. And yet, you won't eat with me. You won't drink with me. You don't maintain a connection. So Amalei sitna natzach. They said, look, right now you're a good guy, but you know the Satan is a tricky character, and who knows what's going to be with you. He may be victorious, and we don't know. You know if it's going to be a worthwhile relationship. So Amalehen ha'ana maktilna yaskun b'gzeres malchut. He says, how could you say that? I'll kill you for saying that. Which is kind of ironic, because he sort of made their point, right? They said, we don't know how a person could turn in a moment. Said, I'll kill you. How could you say something like that? So Amalei shulton b'yad malka. Loyal Malkul Chazav. He said, now, it's not nice for a king to lie. As Mefarish says, "B'yadcha memshel sasal shata melech v'sar." You can do whatever you want. You're the king. Aval b'kach nichamtanu shivtachtanu shalotasi manu ra. For one of the preconditions of asking all these questions was that you're not going to get hurt from asking these questions. So it's a little beneath you for a melech like you to lie about something like that. Miad albish yasam levushin da argavan v'shadi menicha d'dav al tzavarein. So he immediately gave them these fancy clothing and fancy jewelry that he gave them gold necklaces sounds around their neck that he dressed them with. Sounds like the men were wearing gold necklaces. I don't know. Some of the question of Yulbash, some for the king, I guess you got to do it. Some lehen beina de ezel the medina safriki. So he said, you know what? I need some advice. I want to go conquer Africa. What do you think? We don't think it's such a good idea for you to go because the mountains of darkness are in between here in Africa and there. It's going to be very difficult to get there. So he says, no, I need to go. I want to be Melech Bekipa. I want to rule the entire world. So that's not an answer. I asked you how to do it. I didn't ask you if I should do it. He says, I'm asking you how to do it, not if I should do it. So I see Khamri Lubai, the Parshi Bahavra. So he said, go bring certain types of donkeys that are able to travel even in darkness. Vaisi Kiburi de Masni, and you should bring a very long cord, the Katar Bahagisa, and tie it from wherever you leave, from your last known location, and just schlep it along with you, you know, uncoil it as you go, so that you'll have your path back. That way you'll be able to follow that cord as your path back home. So the Chiyas is Nakat Vigavai Vasala Asrach, that way you'll be able to find your way home. Avad Hachi Vazel, so he did exactly as they told him, and he went. Mata luhuma chuzah dekuli nashi, so he got to a certain town that was entirely made up of women. The entire town was all nashim. A little bit difficult to believe. The Mefarish says, yeah, there were no men. It was all women. Says the Maharal in Chidushi Agados, no, of course there were men. You can't have a town of only women, because then it will be a one-generation town. Right? It's not going to last very long. So he says, obviously there were men, but in that town, the women were in charge of everything. The men were tafel to the nashim. So he says, says the Maharal, the yesh l'chol adas inyin zeh, m'nei ma'achar harei achoshech ha-medina shal nashim, b'prat, why is this behind the mountains of darkness? Vein davar zeh mikra klal, ki lo debru chacham v'lo nisker b'dvareim inyin shu stam mikre b'lvad, vein b'chach m'klal. Don't think this is just coincidence, says the Maharal, that the town of women was dafka behind the darkness. There's nothing that's coincidence in Chazal, and they're trying to teach us chachm over here. Avli yesh l'chol adas, ki roi sheyeh medina shekulam nashim b'sov darum, shesham koach ha-nashim b'yoser. That all the way in the south is where the koach of nashim reigns. V'davar zeh yadua ki darum nikra yamin, v'tzofa nikra smol, v'asmol hu koach ha-nashim, ki misham ba gvura la-nashim, v'rei ish nikra gibor. Very interesting. I would have thought the opposite. He says, smol, the left, south is on the right. That's in all the old maps. It wasn't east on the right. South was on the right side of the map. So south is related to the right. Women are related to the right. Men are more connected to the left because the left is where there's gvura. On the right and the south, that's where the koach nashim is. I'm not sure what that means. Those who are familiar with the writings of the Maharal maybe would know more. But the Maharal says there's some great depth over here. That it was a town that was full of women. So he wanted to fight with them. He wanted to conquer the land. So they said to him, you know what, you have a losing proposition over here, Alexander. The women said to him, if you kill us, people are going to say, you killed women. That what kind of lowlife goes and kills women? And if we kill you, then your lasting legacy is going to be the guy who's killed by women, who's killed by weak women. We're not warriors. So he said, okay, maybe let's eat together. Bring me some bread. So they brought him a golden loaf of bread on a golden plate. So they didn't bring him actual bread. They brought him a piece of gold, a block of gold. He says, what? You guys eat gold in this place? What do you want me to do with this bread? So Amalei, Eli Ina Hamabi Isalah Valach Ba Asrach Nahamal Lemechal Shkiltova Asis Lahacha. That's what you're conquering the world because you're hungry. Meaning you came here because you didn't have bread at home that you could bring with you, a pekala to bring with you along the way. We assume the reason you're trying to conquer the world is to amass more gold, is to amass more wealth. So we brought you gold. So kinafik vasi. So when he left that place, kasav abba de machuza, he wrote on the gate of that town, Ana Alexandros Mokton havisi shatia adasisa le medina safriki denashia vialafis etzem minashia. He says, I was a moron until I came to the... Alexandros Mokton, he wrote on the wall, was a shota before I came to this town, and I learned chachma from women. So this was a fulfillment of Ezu Chacham Halomin Mikaladan, right? He was learning from women in from African women in some tribe somewhere in the middle of Africa, and he acknowledged publicly that he learned from them. That's what the Bali Musa point out. Rav Yeruchim Mashkiach Mir said that's the Indasu Musa. He says that's the Musa we're supposed to take out of this. That even this great Bal Koach, this great Bal Gaiva also. So, or it started out to be a Balgaiv, Alexandros Mokton was willing to admit that he had something to learn and something to accept from people who otherwise he would have considered to be beneath him. So Kal v'chomer, ben benoshel Kal v'chomer, we should all be willing to accept Musar, at least from people who are above us, from people who are perhaps even a little wiser than us. So Kishakal v'asi, Yasav Umayana. So when he was going, he sat by a certain spring of water, Kachal Nama, he was eating bread, Havabadei, Guldani de Malcha, and he had these salted fish, Badi de Mechavri lehu Nafal b'urecha. And when he washed off the fish in this water, so there's Machlokas Rishonim, what this means, Nafal bu recha, some say nafal bu rucha. If it's recha, it means that they started to taste really good and smell really good. Rucha would mean they came back to life, that there was tchias amesim on these fish. So that's a little scary. So Amar Shema Mina, hayena miganeidan asi. He says, whoa, I just found a spring of water that the water hits the fish and the fish come back to life. This must be from Gan Eden. Igadar mishakul mehanu maya tarabape. So some say he refreshed himself with that water. He washed his face off with it. Igadar mi idli kule adamata lepiska de Gan Eden. And others say that he followed the path of the water until he reached the Pesach of Gan Eden. Rama kala piskli bava. So he started banging on the door. Hello, open up, open up. I'm at Yuzak Gan Eden. Amalei Zashal Hashem, Tzadikim Yalchavah. He said, no, this isn't for you. This is Shal Hashem, Tzadikim Yalchavah. That's not for you. Amalehuna, no, Nami Malka, no, Mechshuv Chashivna. He said, do you know who I am? I'm a Melech, I'm a Chashuv. Have a Limidi, at least let me have a souvenir. You know, I went to Gan Eden and all I got was this lousy t shirt. Give me something. So Yav. So they gave him one eyeball. So Asya Takle Lukule Dava Vakasba Dide Bahade Lohava Mitkale. So he went and he put on two sides of the scale, one side all the gold and silver that he had, and the other side this eyeball that they gave him in Gan Eden, and the eyeball kept on weighing down all the gold and silver every single time. So he said to Rabbanan, what does this mean? That an eyeball weighs down everything? What's the message of this? Samru Gugalta de Inu de Bistra Vadama de Lokasava. They obviously gave you the eyeball of somebody who was never satisfied. Person is never satisfied because he sees too much, and the more he sees that other people have, the more he wants, the more he desires. So there's no limit. All that gold and silver wouldn't have satisfied this eye, because if he would have Yeshla Meir Rotsa Masayim, if Oiv Kesef La Yispa Kesef, he never would have been satisfied. That's why it's weighing it down. So he said, how do you know that's true? So Shakli Kli Afra Vakasya Li Alter Takla. So they said, take some dirt, cover up the eyeball so the eyeball won't be able to see anything, and then you'll see immediately the gold and silver will weigh it down, and in fact it did. Gehenim l'mala min ha-rekiah. Gehenim is above the rekiah. V'yesh omrim l'achorei harei choshech. That it's behind the mountains of darkness. I guess in the same town where the women are in charge. I don't know. Tana Rabbi Chiya. Kala osik b'torah b'layla shechina kenegda. That anyone who's osik b'torah at night, so the shechina is across from him. Shneemar kumi roni b'layla l'rosh ha-shmaras shifti kamayim libech nochach p'nei Hashem. V'amar ablazer ben Azayah tamidicham mar m'shalom ba'olam shneemar v'chol b'nayich l'mudi Hashem Rav Shalom Banaich, that Talmidei Chachamim that are Marbe Shalom Biolam, they increase peace in this world, as the pasuk says, V'chol Banaich L'mudei Hashem Rav Shalom Banaich. Now, normally when we have that drasha, it then concludes Al Tikrei banayich ela bonayich, and that's how we know that it's actually a reference to Talmid Chachamim. Rav Shach always says over from Rav Kook that Rav Kook says, how do you know Chazal have a sense of humor? So there are a few places where humor comes up in Chazal. There's the Gemara in Pesachim, it says v'chichulda neviyahi, when it talks about the weasel running in with the chametz. So it says, what is the weasel a navi that knows when Pesach is going to be to hide away the chametz? So that was humorous, because chulda is the name of one of the neviim, so a little irony in Chazal. But Rav Kook said, no, this is hysterical that Chachamim, that Talmid Chachamim create shalom in this world. It's hysterical. It's not our experience at all. But one more vart, just before we call Osik B'tar B'layla, we said Chud Shal Chesed is going to be Moshe Chalav B'yom. So the Mesh Chachma writes that Laila over here is Lav Dafka, a time of day. It doesn't mean Laila at night. It means that when in darkness, undercover, B'seser, B'tzina, B'eis Hadchak, when things are difficult, when no one's looking, if someone is Lomin Al Manas L'Eschabed, or to be Rav, or to whatever, for whatever other purposes, then it's not going to be the Chud Shal Chesed. The Chud Shal Chesed is dafka going to be when he's also Torah B'layla without looking for any credit. And this connection between Torah and Chesed is something that is explored in great detail in the Hakdama to the Avas Chesed. The Chavetz Chaim in Avas Chesed writes in this Hakdama that Torah and Chesed are very connected to each other. They accomplish many of the same things. They are Mechaper Avonos, similar to each other, and there is this partnership between Torah and Chesed, and you find it throughout Chazal. Okay.